Ready to roll. Well, thank you everyone who has helped set up for today, not only for our normal worship crew here and the audio visual, but also for the meal afterwards. And some of you have traveled some distances to be here. I see a friend from Beijing and Singapore and others that have taken a long way from Causeway Bay and even some Ping Chau people. So thank you so much for coming and being here. I'm very encouraged by your coming to say goodbye. And yeah, so I hope I don't break down and cry, but I got plenty of tissues. That's all right. The message, what do you say when it's your last one? You know, what are you going to preach about? So I prayed about this, and I looked up, well, it's a time to remember. There's all kinds of stuff we could remember and go through, but I'm coming up with one verse, and it's basically, well, there's two verses. Hebrews 13, 7 and 8, but 8 comes later. It's kind of a surprise. But in Hebrews 13, 7, we are exhorted to remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. How would you like to be me right now and preach this? Huh? That's some verse, right? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Well, this is a list of my American pastors who were involved in my life, beginning at age 2, Wesley Sprinkle, all the way to Gary Aiken, who was the pastor of the church I attended when Bonnie and I had our first child back in the 80s and in the early 80s. But let me just tell you about who Wesley Sprinkle is. Let's see, I got it. Advance, please. It's not advancing. Yeah, try and advance. There he is. He's a good-looking guy, isn't he? Well, I was surprised that I could find this obituary. But you'll see this is Reverend E.F. Sprinkle. When I found this obituary, he died in 1968, and I saw this photograph. I said, that's Pastor Sprinkle. Well, it is Pastor Sprinkle. He's the brother of James, James Wesley Sprinkle. But they looked exactly the same. I have hardly any memory. Ben, he was my pastor when I was about Ben's age, you know, right? And hi, Ben, how you doing? And to make a long story short, I can't remember anything he did except the sermons were very long. And I had to sit on hardwood and on pews, you know, and I started hurting. Anyway, to make a long story short, he was a kind guy, very nice man. But I can't remember too much about him because that was early on. But later, a significant other in my life was Bill Wallace. Bill had a thick black head of hair. Some of us notice people's hair, but like Jesse's, you know, nice black hair, you know, and it was thick, and he kind of reminded me of my dad. He's a little overweight, big guy, but he gave me a big bear hug, and this kind of thing reminded me of my dad. But Bill Wallace was the one who baptized me when I was 8 and a half years old. Very, very dear brother. And then there was this guy, let's hit the advance again. Billy Klein. Billy was unique. He was a good basketball player. I mean, in his 50s, if you gave him any space, he could hit those from the outside. I mean, he was really a good basketball player. But Billy also buried my dad. My dad died when I was 15 years old, and he comforted my mom during her time of grief, a very caring pastor. Yeah, I can remember him. Oops, let's go back. There we go. Arlie Hegarty. Arlie was my first pastor I ever had who was not a Southerner. He was from Pennsylvania. But this guy was magnificent. He exposited Scripture. It's the first time I ever heard anybody preach a sermon from the series on the book of the Bible. He took 2 years to get through Ephesians. And he also took a risk by starting some leadership development with me. And I was young, one part of his leadership team, and he said, James, I know you're young, but we think God's working in your life, and he was. And we want to include you, and you can learn from us. And so Arlie was a very significant other in my life, too. I looked up some of the pictures of these guys, and I said, no, I can't share those. They don't look too good. They don't flatter them like they did in their youth. But Howard Cameron, Now this is outside of Asheville, North Carolina. The first 1, 2, 3, 4 were Asheville, North Carolina. But Howard I met in graduate studies in Atlanta, Georgia. And he was a former missionary to Zaire. And I'll never forget him parading a little baby. We don't have any real small babies here, do we? But do we have one right now today, a little small one? Well, anyway, Howard took this little baby like this, and it just said, you know, this is a symbol, I just want to show you, of how we are so dependent upon our Father God, this little one, and how God loves the children of the covenant. And it was a great message, I remember. But one thing I really experienced with Howard's family was hospitality. He had two international students, a daughter and a son who were studying university. But he would always allow us university guys to go over to his house on Sundays and eat. That was what a treat, you know. You're away from home, you're studying university, and you don't cook much most of the time as graduate students. But he would bring us in every Sunday. The hospitality of Howard and his wife, I really remember that. Gary Aiken, a powerful preacher of the word, and he helped me understand that this grace thing, this sovereignty of God thing, applies to every experience in my life. He helped me personalize this doctrine of the sovereignty of God. I don't know if you got that yet, but yeah, God in his goodness to us has allowed us to have this. Martin, I'll be a little soft on you. It's 9 years, not 11. That's all right. But it's 9. But anyway, in these 9 years, this God in his sovereignty allowed us to befriend each other and to have the experiences we have shared. That is his working. And what's going to happen tomorrow, who you meet, even today, who you're going to sit with. God in his sovereignty is orchestrating these things for you to experience the richness of his love. Wow. Anyway, Gary helped me out on that one. But what about this guy? I wonder, what do you think about me, you know? The verse again says, give me a hit over there, gangs. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Now, I've tried in my own weaknesses and through the Holy Spirit working, you know, yet something's happening. And these are some of the words of God we've contacted. I think this arrow is me controlling the arrow. Is that right? How do I turn that off? You don't know? Let's try it. What's the circle do? Oh, it stops the arrow. Okay. There we go. But I've preached these books of the Bible. Galatians, James. Hey, doctor. Good to see you. Galatians, James, Matthew, Acts, Hebrews, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, also known as the pastoral epistles. Revelation, the first two chapters, and 1st Peter, we just ended. And I can remember people thought, when will Acts ever end? That was a long series. But what was the message, basically, I'm trying to get over is, let's live gospel, grace-centered lives. And what do I mean by that? Well, we say no to legalism. We're not a bunch of keep the rules people. If I do this and then God must do that because I have done good, I've been a good person, so God must bless me. No, that's not the way the gospel works. At the same time, we say no to lawlessness. I mean, God loves me, and we sang about how his grace, it really takes away everything. Everything you and I have sinned against God, against people before today, and everything that we're going to do today that's not honoring him, everything we're going to do until we die, he's taking care of all that. But that doesn't mean I'm going to go out and say, well, if he's taking care of all my sins today, I might as well just, you know, you fill in the blank. No, I don't do that. I say no to legalism. I say no to lawlessness. And I say no to worldly passions. By that I mean I don't live for pleasure. Pleasure idols do not control me. Material idols do not control me. And reputation idols do not control me. I have a hard one with that last one, you know. It's more so in the home. I'm trying to think, you know, I deserve all the respect. I'm the big guy, you know. Jesus deserved all the respect, and he got mocked and spit on and whatever. They don't do that to me in my home, but what I'm getting at is these idols I have to say no to, and you have to say no to. If I'm going to go buy a dress, a pair of shoes, a car, a house, a golf club, I include Jesus. And that's where I say yes. I say yes to the will of God. Lord, everything I have is yours. You know, I offer up my life. I raise my hands. It's like we sang, everything is yours. Okay. My children are yours. Where are they going to go to school? We're going to pray this through. We want them to go to the school that you have in mind for them. We say yes to the will of God. Yes, I'm going to live for God's kingdom, as Martin led us in prayer. I that's why I'm here in DB, is to extend the kingdom of God and whatever community you're living here and beyond, those of you who have traveled from different communities in Hong Kong as well as Jakarta, I saw upstairs. That's why I was waving to. Wow. Say yes to the will of God and live a life of thanksgiving. So yes, I demonstrate my obedience, my love for the Lord. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands, right? And so I don't do the commands because I'm trying to get his blessing. No, I do it because I love him, because I know he died on that cross for James. He died on that cross for you. And how can you, how can I not live a life of thanksgiving and go about it as unto him? And if you want another sermon today, you can go read this in Titus 2:11 through 15, where the gospel that brings salvation to all teaches us to say no to the worldly passions and yes to the will of God. That's my paraphrase, but great, great text, one of my favorites. Oops. We interrupt this program for a commercial break. Kids, I thought I might be losing you by now. So I'm going to need some help. This is Elizabeth and Ev, would you come up, please? Yeah. This was your request. These guys have insisted that we do this, all right? They don't remember the words. All right, I got a slide on it. Boys and girls, these two colleagues of mine, sometimes we kid each other, we're colleges, okay? So these two colleges of mine, that's a play on word, okay. These two colleagues, co-workers, remember me, one of my first Sundays, I sang this song. Was it in staff meeting?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a staff meeting song.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
James just broke out into this song.
Yeah. And it's an African song, which I learned from Solomon Kindagori, was that his name? Love, remember his? We were in seminary, and this guy from Kenya, I know his first name was Solomon, and he married Ruby, I think. And anyway, we all got married in the seminary. It was great. But to make a long story short, he taught us this song. Now, it's kind of tricky. And so I'll help teach you a little bit, but Elizabeth and Ev know it by heart. Okay, let's read it. Jesus is the saving King. 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the saving King. And we don't read out 3X. What does 3X mean? Three times. Okay. Praise his name. Now, here comes the tricky part, kids. All right? Now, look. Put down the pencils. Quit taking notes. Whatever you're doing. Okay. Look. We got to go to ooh. Ben, you got it. Let's do it one more time. Ooh. Who's videotaping? No videotaping. This song's under copyright with Hillsong. We're going to get it out. Okay. Now, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but if you kind of get the feel, just join, all right? Jesus is the saving King. Jesus is the saving King. Jesus is the saving King. Praise his name. Jesus is the saving King. Jesus is the saving King. Jesus is the saving King. Praise his name. Now the African part. Ooh. Okay, that was a warm-up. That's a warm-up. All right, now we can do a lot better than that. Martin, you got the tune? You helped them up there, okay? All right. Okay. Hallelujah, 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 praise his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise his name. Ooh, Jesus is the saving king. Jesus is the saving king. Jesus is the saving king. Praise his name. Jesus is the saving king. Jesus is the saving king. Jesus is the saving king. Praise his name. Ooh. Okay, we'll work on it. And when we have our 50th anniversary, we'll come back at it. Man, I couldn't carry the tune today. Wow. Boys and girls, whatever you take away, and you remember that bald-headed guy that used to be the pastor, he said, Jesus is the saving king. Ooh. Okay. It's something to get excited about. now you're catching on. Shall we do it again? So you got to remember, you know, yeah, Pastor James, he brought this word of God, this gospel of Christ Jesus, and who Jesus is the saving king. He's the Messiah. But consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. The outcome of their life and imitate their faith. If you're going to consider any outcome of my life, you have to consider Bonnie. She's a real prayer warrior. We didn't leave the United States with just my idea. It was our hearts were united, believing that God's Spirit had brought us together as a couple, because together we could better glorify God than we ever could single. And it's him who opened up the way for us to come here. It has nothing to do with us. And if you know me, you may have heard me tell you about, I never saw a Chinese person until I was 27 years old. Bonnie didn't see too many Chinese people, but she had some Japanese friends that lived around her. But somehow God put us together in our weaknesses and brought us to Hong Kong. So in 1980, we were married, and Bonnie has, of course, pastored. Hi, Ben. Good to see you. And that's when we got married. But in 82, we knew God was calling us to Asia, but not exactly where. And it was then that God opened up the door through the Council of some mission leaders and our local church leaders that Hong Kong was the place. I had studied French, Spanish, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And I did well in those courses. But as soon as the semester was over, I forgot everything I learned, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? So I come here to Hong Kong, and I'm saying, God, how am I going to get this language? I mean, it's a bear. I mean, Cantonese. It's really difficult. And just like God said to Moses, hey, Moses, I know you were raised and you spoke Egyptian for 40 years, and I sent you to the desert of Midian. You spoke Midianite for 40 years. And now I'm going to ask you to go lead these Israelites after 80 years, and you got to get back into the Hebrew game. And he said, how can I, God? I'm slow of speech. God said to him, very simple, who made your mouth? So boys and girls, I don't know where you may grow up and be led to, but God can help you get the language. And even right now, if you're having a bear of a studies with Chinese, you know, he'll help you get it as much as you need to get it. But he helped me. He helped Bonnie to get language. And we came in 84, and we basically worked among what do we call it, grassroots church. So we worked basically among the grass church roots, the people who are new immigrants from China in Hong Kong. And God bless that ministry, and we are grateful for all that experience with these two organizations, OMF and MTW. But what you might not know is the last couple of years, we tried this business as mission project in Yuen Long, and it was a failure. I'm just going to make that story really, really quick. It was a failure. And we had a little home study group going, but it didn't have the momentum to become a church plant, and I didn't know what God wanted for us. We had some people saying, well, you can come join our team in Perth. You can come join it, whatever, you know. We had invitations in the past we could consider, but we thought, no, it's not right. And it's not right for us to go back to the States. And that's when Steve Torgerson asked me, James, our pastor just resigned, Brad Hicks, and would you mind coming and preach a series during the summer? I said, okay. Well, that led to this the beginning of our relationship with you, and then later on being called in that December to come as your pastor. So what lies ahead after 2018 at DBICC? Well, we really don't know, and so I'm going to be really quiet for the next 6 months and just concentrate on my family, and particularly my son Joseph and Ruth and David, and a lot of family dynamics that I just want to give attention to and love these guys. And that's what we're looking forward to in the next few months. We leave on Friday, Lord willing, depart Friday night at 11:30. And then we'll spend 3 weeks in San Francisco or Berkeley with my son David is in the middle and his wife Yuri. And then we go over to the East Coast of North Carolina on July the 20th. But pray for us. We're looking to, we can find a house that will be able to house everybody when you come visit us, okay? So, no, we'd love to have a house that's suitable to hospitality. And for sure, we've already got one guest booked in September. So if you're going to come, please, please do come and visit us. And I mean that sincerely. DBICC pastors. Okay, Randy Strode. I haven't met the guy. You guys have met the guy. Some of you know him. He's going to be here July the 8th live. Okay. Chuck Crabtree is with the Lord, but he was used here. Brad Hicks, serving in the States, right? And James Buckner, yeah. And then we got Danny Collins, right? And, yeah. So that's Danny and Laura and the kids. And they're scheduled to arrive August the 6th. And do pray for them in their transition. Lovely family, and just praise God for how this has worked. Thank you so much for, I know they're going to be overwhelmed too by the love of DBICC. Christ's love in you, flowing out to their pastor, and vice versa. You know what? For some of you guys, James, maybe even Danny, going to be a distant memory. And you'll be looking at my obituary and say, there's that bald-headed guy as my pastor. I don't know. But Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That verse follows verse 7. Remember your leaders who preach the word of God among you. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. I won't tell you, but one of my pastor's friends, of my pastor's list there, his son overdosed on heroin. Family members dying of cancer. But they held to their faith. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. You can. It's all right, boys and girls, to forget me. You know, if you know you're going to have great times with other pastors in your life, that's all right if you forget me. But you know who you don't forget is Jesus, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll help you with your young problems as young people. And he'll help you as teenagers with your teenager problems. And he helps us as adults with our adult problems. And then as older people with our aging problems. Jesus is our creator. He's our covenant maker. He's made that new covenant, which he cannot break. He will keep it, and he will make sure you get to heaven. You will get to the new Jerusalem. He keeps his promises, and he promises one thing, that he will never, ever remember our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities. He's forgetting all that, and he says, what? You know, I promise you, I'm with you always to the end of the earth, and you know what? I want you to go and make disciples with me. And I am going to come again. He keeps his promises. Remember Jesus. Okay. That's supposed to represent a DBICC family. Not all of us are perfect families. Some of us have gone through divorces. Some of us are single. Some of us don't have children. But anyway, Jesus says, do this to remember me. He's given us this table, this celebration, because he knows we need to remember, because we so easily forget. He loves me. He loves you. And so we eat and we drink in remembrance of him. And as often as we do that, we proclaim his death, because it's because he died on the cross that you and I can live forever. I always like to put up this from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 through 31, is that we're exhorted to examine ourselves before we celebrate this table. Because we can eat it, we can go through the motions, eat and drink in an unworthy manner. And the way that would be unworthy is if you think there's more than one way to relate to God other than through Christ. Another unworthy manner is if you think because there's something magical in that piece of bread, there's something magical in the wine, the symbolic wine that we're drinking, that there's something there that's going to make me know. We do it to remember him. His body nailed on the tree, his blood shed for you, his blood shed for me. Now, there's many of you are visitors. Some of you are first-timers. That's okay. We invite you to come. This table's open. If you know Jesus Christ and you believe him, that he died for your sins, and you're trusting him alone, we welcome you to this table. Could I ask the elders to come down and help me, and we'll get ready to serve? Let's examine our hearts together before we celebrate communion. Father God, I thank you for all the special friends that could be here today. And the memories we share are so multiple and good. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord, in times of hard times and good times. We may forget each other, but we cannot forget you. And I thank you, dear God, use this communion to once again remind us that we need to remember you, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now we thank you for the bread, we thank you for the wine, and ask for you to bless it and make us a stronger witness for you in Discovery Bay and beyond. That's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This guy. Scriptures tell us on the night that Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body given for you. Eat in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the blood of the new covenant. My blood shed for your remission of your sins. Drink in remembrance of me. And as I said earlier, every time we eat and drink, we proclaim his death until he comes. Then we'll eat and drink in a different way. So welcome you, those of you who are new to our church. You might not know how we do it. We do not distribute the elements where you're seated. We ask you to come down, and the elders will stand behind me. Just follow the crowd. We generally come down on your right and then go back on the other side, back to your seat. Okay, let's celebrate the Lord Jesus, remembering him. His body given for you, his body given for me.